ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्राये सभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवतिर्नैष्ठिकी। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट 17। पंचविंशति तत्वानां पुरुषः अद्भुतदर्पणः अध्यात्मं अबुदश्य इह किम् अस कर्मभि भवेत्। पञ्चविंशति तत्त्वानां पुरुषोद्भुतदर्पणः अध्यात्मं अद्विदेयस्य अध्यात्मं अबुदश्येह किम् असत्कर्मभिर्भवेत्। पञ्चविंशति तत्त्वानां पुरुषोद्भुतदर्पणः अध्यात्मम् अबुदश्येह किम् असत्कर्मभिर्भवेत्। पञ्चविंशति तत्त्वानां पुरुषोद्भुतदर्पणः अध्यात्मम् अबुदश्येह किम् असत्कर्मभिर्भवेत्। पञ्चविंशति तत्त्वानां पुरुषोद्भुतदर्पणः अध्यात्मम् अबुदश्येह किम् असत्कर्मभिर्भवेत्।
दत्वानां पुरुषो भूतधर्पणः अज्ञातमुपदशेह किं न सत्कर्मभिः पञ्चविंशति दत्वानां पुरुषोद्भुतदर्पणः अध्यात्मबुदशः न सत्तत्वम्.
यस् युवर् चान्स्.
पञ्चविंशति तत्त्वानां पुरुषोद्भुतदर्पणः अध्यात्मबुदशः किं न सत्कर्मभिर्भवेत्.
माताजीस्,
पञ्चविंशति तत्त्वानां पुरुषोद्भुतदर्पणः अध्यात्मबुदशः न सत्कर्मभिर्भवेत्.
वट् वर्ड् मीनिङ्ग्? पञ्चविंशति 25 तत्त्वानां आफ् द एलिमेण्ट्स् पुरुषः द सुप्रीम् पर्सनालिटि आफ् गाड् अद्भुतदर्पणः द वण्डर्फुल् मेनिफेस्टर् अध्यात्मं द ओवर्सियर् आफ् आल् कासस् अण्ड् एफेक्ट्स् abudashya of one who does not know iha in this world kim asat karma vibhave what can be the benefit of engaging in temporary fruitive activities. Translation and purport by divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Narada Muni had said that there is a house made of 25 elements. The Haryas was understood this analogy. The Supreme Lord is the reservoir of the 25 elements, and as the Supreme Being, the conductor of cause and effect, He causes their manifestation. If one engages in temporary fruitive activities, not knowing that Supreme Person, what benefit will he derive? Purport by His Divine Grace. Philosophers and scientists conduct scholarly research to find the original cause, but they should do so scientifically, not whimsically or through fantastic theories. The science of the original cause is explained in various Vedic literatures. Atato Brahma Jnasa Janmadesha Yataha Vedanta Sutra 1.1 and 1.1.1 and 2. The Vedanta Sutra explains that one should inquire about the Supreme Soul. Such inquiry about the Supreme is called Brahma Jnasa. The Absolute Truth Tattva is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11. Vadanti tat tattva vidastattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmaneti bhagavaniti sabdyate. The learned transcendentalist who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. The absolute truth appears to neophytes as impersonal Brahman, and to advanced mystic yogis as Paramatma, the super soul. But devotees who are further advanced understand the absolute truth as the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. This material cosmic manifestation is an expansion of the energy of Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu. Ekadese sthitasyagner jyotsna vistariniyata parashy brahmana shaktir tate dhammakilam jagat. Whatever we see in this world is but an expansion of various energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. who is like a fire that spreads illumination for a long distance, although it is situated in one place, Vishnu Purana. The entire cosmic manifestation is an expansion of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, if one does not conduct research to find the supreme cause, but instead falsely engages in frivolous temporary activities, what is the use of demanding recognition as an important scientist or philosopher? If one does not know the ultimate cause, what is the use of the scientific and philosophical research? The Purusha, the original person, Bhagavan, Vishnu, can be understood only by devotional service. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yachasmi tattvatah. Bhagavad Gita 1855. Only by devotional service can one understand the Supreme Person who is behind everything. One must try to understand that the material elements are the separated inferior energy of the Lord and that the living entity is the Lord's spiritual energy. Whatever we experience, including matter and the spirit soul, the living force, is but a combination of two energies of Lord Vishnu, the inferior energy and the superior energy. One should seriously study the facts concerning creation, maintenance and devastation, as well as the permanent place from which one never need to return. Yad gatvana nivartante. Bhagavad Gita 15:6. Human society should study this, but instead of cultivating such knowledge, people are attracted to temporary happiness and sense gratification, culminating in bottomless and topless passion. There is no profit in such activities. One must engage himself in the Krishna consciousness movement.
Om Ajnanatim Randasya Jnanan Janasalakaya Sakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Krupatamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Krupa Sindubhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunnavadi Pastacha Desatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
In this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, we are reading how Prajapati Daksha begot 10,000 sons. 10,000 sons, because he is the one who is responsible for populating this universe. There was no population at the time. So beginning. So he begot 10,000 sons who are known as Aryasvas, and he wanted them Shishi Radhara Svihariji ki, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishi Gaurnitai ki. He wanted his 10,000 sons to progenate more so that this world could be populated. So his sons took his good advice, quote unquote, and before starting the progeny, they wanted to purify themselves, qualified enough to make progeny, so that the progeny is of good quality. Just reproducing is not the big deal. So many species of life, you can see, they reproduce much more than human beings actually. So one has to be fit enough to progenate so that quality progeny is produce. So the Saryaswas, they decided to do tapasya before getting into family life. So it is mentioned in this chapter how they all went to a place known as Narayana Saras, which is the place where river Sindhu river is confluencing in the Arabian Sea. So they went there and they were doing so nice tapasya that Narada Muni appeared there. And Narada Muni saw these are doing so wonderful tapasya, they are fit candidates to go back home, back to Godhead. So they are doing so nicely, they can very easily qualify to go back home, back to Godhead. Why they should come back to the material life and then create progeny? So, with his good intention, indeed. So, he taught them some lessons in the form of analogy. But the Aryasvas were so intelligent that they could grasp what Narada Muni is trying to teach them. So in the earlier slokas, sloka number 8 especially, Narada Muni has given several analogies, and one of the analogies is that how this house, this material world is the house, material universe actually. The house which is made of 25 elements. Pancha vimsati tattvana. He just only gave a hint. They could understand the entire meaning behind this. That was the intelligence they had. So what is the meaning of that is being explained in this particular sloka. The house of 25 elements. These 25 elements are nothing other than what Sankhya Yoga, Sankhya philosophy teaches us. Sankhya philosophy, every philosophy is trying to understand what is the truth. Either Sankhya, Yoga, Vedanta, all kinds of philosophy, they are trying to understand what is the truth. The truth is something which doesn't change, which is permanent. Something of that sort. So you try to analyze, this is the world you are given, you try to analyze what is the truth. So one ends up studying the analytical nature, analytical study of this material universe, which is having 24 elements. So in Sankhya, we have read Sankhya before, in Sankhya it discusses about how this world is made of five gross elements. First five gross elements are there. Pancha Mahabhuta. Earth, water, air, fire and ether. Bhumi, rapo, analo, vayu, kham, panch. Then behind this five gross elements, there are five subtle elements known as tanmatras. Smell, taste, color, touch. And sound. These five subtle elements correspond to five gross elements. 10. 5 plus 5, 10. Then we have jnanendriyas. The indriyas to acquire knowledge. Jnana indriya, jnanendriya. Which are also connected to these five tanmatras. These five, 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 these are interconnected. Nose. Tongue, eyes, skin and ears. These five are connected. We will not go into detail because we are not having a class on Sankhya, but how Sankhya is connected to the other thing we will discuss. Then, five karmendriyas, working senses. Day-to-day working is required. Speech, hands, legs, genital and anus. Five. These five are to work, otherwise body will not function properly. Working senses, karmendriya. So 5 plus 5 plus 5 plus 5, 20. Then comes subtle elements. ಭೂಮಿರಪೋ ಅಣಲೋ ವಾಯು ಖಂ ಮನೋ ಬುದ್ಧಿರ್ಯೇವಚೆ ಅಹಂಕಾರ ಇತಿ ಎಮ್ಮೆ ಭಿನ್ನ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ಅಷ್ಟದ. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ದ ಸಿನಾಪ್ಸಿಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್. 8 ಎಲಿಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಟಾಕ್ಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್. ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ 24 ಎಲಿಮೆಂಟ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಅ ಡೀಟೈಲ್ಡ್ ಸ್ಟಡಿ. ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ದ ಸಿನಾಪ್ಸಿಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್. 5 ಗ್ರಾಸ್ ಎಲಿಮೆಂಟ್, 3 ಸಟಲ್ ಎಲಿಮೆಂಟ್. ವೆರ್ ಆಸ್ ಸಾಂಖ್ಯ ಗೋಸ್ ಫರ್ದರ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ಡೀಟೈಲ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಹೌ ದಿಸ್ 8 ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಬಿ ಗಾನ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ಡೀಟೈಲ್ ಟು ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ 24 ಎಲಿಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ಮೈಂಡ್, ಮನ, ಬುದ್ಧಿ, ಅಹಂಕಾರ, ದೀಸ್ ತ್ರೀ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಟಾಕ್ಸ್. ಬಿಯಾಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ತ್ರೀ, ಒನ್ ಮೋರ್ ಇಸ್ ದೇರ್, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಂಟಾಮಿನೇಟೆಡ್ ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್. ಚಿತ್ತ, ಚಿತ್, ಫ್ರಮ್ ಚಿತ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಚಿತ್ತ, ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್. ಸೊ 20 + 4 = 24 ಎಲಿಮೆಂಟ್. ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ದ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಮೇಡ್ ಆಫ್. ಅಂಡ್ ದ 25th ಎಲಿಮೆಂಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಟೈಮ್ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟರ್. ಟೈಮ್, ಕಾಲೋಸ್ಮಿ ಅಹಂ, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಸ್, ಟೈಮ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಡೆಸ್ಟ್ರಾಯರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ತ್ರೀ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟೆಡ್ ದಟ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ವಿತಿನ್ ಅಸ್ ಆಸ್ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ ಅಂಡ್ ವಿತೌಟ್ ಔಟ್ಸೈಡ್, ಇನ್ಸೈಡ್ ಆಸ್ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ ಅಂಡ್ ಔಟ್ಸೈಡ್ ದ ಟೈಮ್ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟರ್. 25th ಎಲಿಮೆಂಟ್. ಸೊ ಟೈಮ್ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟರ್ ಈಸ್ ಅ ವೆರಿ ವೆರಿ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಎಲಿಮೆಂಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಕಂಡಕ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಎನಿ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟಿ. ಇಫ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಡಸಂಟ್ ಫ್ಲೋ, ಯು ಕಾನ್ ಡೂ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್. If you have to do something, time has to flow. Suppose Krishna freezes the time, what you can do? You are frozen also. That is what happens. When the material universe is wound up, you go back into the body of Mahavishnu, there is no time flowing there, you just stay there. The time as we know in the material universe. In fact, it is Krishna who actually initiates the time to flow. In the beginning, even though these are 24 elements, part of Prakriti, in the beginning, unmanifested, undistinguished combination of all these 24 elements we put, which is known as Pradhan. There is no variety there. There is no time flowing there. It's like, no time started. In fact, Karano Dakasai Vishnu, Mahavishnu, he glances at this Pradhan. He glances at the universe which is having come potential for all these elements. So when he glances that, he agitates it. This entire combination of all the metal elements. So because of that agitation, then slowly all these elements start manifesting. Previously it is unmanifested, undifferentiated, undistinguished combination of all the elements. When Vishnu glances at it, he agitates it, then time starts flowing. It is because the time starts flowing, the material elements start manifesting. That is why time is Krishna in the unmanifest form, outside, which is making possible all the things to happen. If time doesn't flow, things can't happen. So, Vishnu, Mahavishnu, is also known as Karano Dakasai Vishnu because he is lying down the causal ocean, which is the cause of this material universe. Where did it come from? It is coming from the causal ocean. It is coming from Karano Dakasai Vishnu, who actually agitates the material element to manifest as Prakriti. When it is fully manifested, it is known as Prakriti. When it is unmanifested, it is known as Pradhan. Prakriti. So, here it is stated how the Supreme Being is the conductor of cause and effect. It's a very important terminology in philosophy, cause and effect. Because this is a purport Prabhupada talks about what is science and what is philosophy, how to do a proper science and proper philosophy also. So it's interesting to discuss. Cause and effect. Logically speaking, if there is an effect, you try to find out what is the cause. If you see that there is some water here, you try to find out who kept it there. This is effect. This is karana and karya. The karya is this. This effect, and who kept it there? Somebody kept it there. Some new bhakta arranging the class, he brought and kept the water. Okay, where did he get the water? Oh, water in the deity department, some maha, I don't know, maha water lagta nahi hai. Pahila maha water lagta tha, abhi lagta nahi hai. Tulsi nahi deta, aaj band ho gaya. Acha, nikal deta, theek hai. Some maha water, so where the water came from? Oh, it came from, nowadays they offer mineral water. So mineral water company, Bisleri man, Bisleri water. Oh, acha, very good. Where did Bisleri company got the water from? Oh, no, they, some underground bore well, whatever. They say Himalayan water or some spring water. We don't know what water it is anyway. Some water they got it. Where did that water come from? This is called analyzing it in the philosophical way of cause and effect. Water came from, clouds, and the clouds were, how the clouds came? Then scientists will say, clouds came from the, water from the sea. It evaporated. This is where the diversion happens. If suppose you ask from the Vedic point of where clouds came, immediately say that Indra sent it. See, you are taking a left turn and right turn here. Up to here, okay. Pani se, cloud se aya pani to theek hai. So if you ask a scientist where the cloud came from, no, it is coming from the ocean. In the Pacific Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, when the sunshine is hot, the water is evaporated and they actually form as a cloud, and that cloud is coming and we are getting monsoon. This is the cause of water is ocean water. Okay, where the ocean came from? No, in the beginning, this is where Prabhupada is very heavily talking about science and philosophy. Very interesting to talk about it. So, the agenda of science is to exclude God from any explanation of cause and effect. To put it in the simple terminology. Because the same questions were asked 10,000 years back, 5,000 years back, 500 years back also. At the time there was no science as we know of now. Modern science is having a history of 300, 400 years. Before that, theology was ruling. So theology was telling that where did the cloud come from? Indra sent it, at least Vedic, according to Vedic scripture. Where is Indra? Try to see. You don't see Indra, no? How is it possible? This is where questioning started. How? Why? Science is supposed to answer questions. How? Why? Explanation, logically. Don't bring some mystic power or extraordinary, those which cannot be verified. If you bring that, it doesn't become science, it becomes myth, mythology. Prabhupada is giving a heavy dose for that scientist, how to conduct science. Science, Tetapal Prabhu, theek hai? Bolo? Science, by their own definition, is something which is verifiable. Verifiable, experienceable, verifiable. If you can't experience, you can't experience, it is not science. Like that, the science has developed so many unraveled, so to say, the so-called mysteries of the world. Came up with a lot of theories explaining how things are happening, fine, which led into engineering, technology. We are having so much technology, talking on the mic, so many things. It's actually product of science. When one tries to understand what is the cause, there are two things that is unresolved even within science, even today. The cause of life and cause of this universe. How did the universe come into being? Big question. How did life come into being? These two questions are baffling the science. Even though thousands and thousands of people are doing research, PhD, and hundreds of people are getting Nobel Prizes, etc., etc., there is no conclusive thing about how did life come into being, how did universe come into being. So as I already said, the agenda of science is to explain everything excluding God. So they were trying to exclude God in explaining how did this universe come into being by means of the theory called Big Bang Theory, which says that this world came into being because there was a big bang in the beginning. From that bang, you know, all these things came, the planets have come, galaxies have come, then slowly, slowly it has evolved like that. You don't need God for big bang. God doesn't create by bang. You don't need a big bang. Then how did life come into being? Oh, life came into being because, you know, when this was, you know, previously it was very hot, you know, then it became colder and colder, then life started. First unicellular organism and then bigger, bigger and complicated. And one organism evolved into another, another like that. Monkey came, from monkey we have all come. That is Darwin's theory of evolution. So these are the two hypothesis, I would say, rather than theory, because theory has to be verified. This is never verified by anybody. And the biggest question faced was, if this universe has got so much mass, how in the beginning all the mass was in one place? Because actually when they observe, the planets are moving apart, the galaxies are moving apart. Why did they come to Big Bang is this. You see today the two planets are like this, after 1 year they are becoming little bit apart. Apart. It's called expanding universe. So if it is expanding now, previously it must have been closer, 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 closer. So long time back it should have been at one point. That is the idea about Big Bang. Then how all the mass can be in one place? It's not possible to explain. Recently you must have heard about what is known as research in Europe, CERN, where they were doing some research on what is known as God particle. God particle karke suna hai? Kitna log suna hai God particle? There is nothing godly about the particle actually. Because all the mass, if it is in one place, and it is very difficult to explain, they wanted to say that there was no mass in the beginning. As it expanded, mass came into being. For that, they were doing research on the, you know, subatomic particle, which is known as Higgs boson. It's not God, this God particle is a nickname. It's a misnomer, so to say. So this Higgs boson, which is massless, if it passes through an electromagnetic field, it acquires mass. If it acquires mass, then you can say that in the beginning there was no mass, slowly all the masses have come into being. That is what they are doing research by spending millions and millions and millions of dollars, thousands of people working on it, on their PhDs, postdoctoral research and whatever research they are doing. How a particle which doesn't have mass, by passing through a field, it acquires mass, so that you don't need God, you need only the particle Higgs boson. They call it God particle in the meaning that it can explain God's role in this universe. It's not, they are trying to find out God. They say that God's role of creation, this particle can explain. God particle. So, Prabhupada says, philosophers and scientists conduct scholarly research to find the original cause. What is the original cause? From where everything has come. But they should not do, they should do it scientifically, not whimsically and fantastic. This is called whimsical and fantastic theories. Because you want to exclude God, you have some whims and fancies in your mind, you try to fit in a theory with that, that doesn't work like that. You still will not be able to find God there. But their aim is not to find God actually. So where they are going to find? They will not be able to find. So, when modern science is trying to explain everything about this, then how the life has come into being. So from this chemical, the unicellular organism came. Prabhupada was very unhappy with the explanation that life comes from matter. He said, what is this nonsense? You don't see life coming from matter. Matter has certain quality. Only who is ignorant, he can just assume like that. You don't find, you know, life coming from matter. So Prabhupada had a series of discussion. What is known as life comes from life. You don't see life coming from matter. You matter how long you are keeping, there will not be any life coming. Sometimes you may say that in the wood, termite is coming. Actually, wood is not giving birth to termite. Termites are already there, they are coming actually. They are in the, you know, unmanifest form, they are manifesting. In villages, if you keep rice in big container, sometimes you will find a scorpion in there. Hey? Dekha kabhi? Bombay mein nahi dekh sakta hai. A parcel karke aata hai na. If you keep a huge quantity of rice, you will find some scorpion. Rice is not giving birth to scorpion. Rice can give birth only to rice, not scorpion. Scorpion egg is there already and that is becoming a scorpion. Not rice is giving birth to scorpion. So, because of these whims and fancies, when they make a theory, Prabhupada was very upset. Prabhupada said, no, this is not science. This is fantasy. Fiction. We just say something without proper explanation and experience. So, as I already mentioned, science means there has to be some experience of realizing it. Whereas in this Big Bang and evolution, there is no experiment to conduct and find out whether it is correct or not. It's only whims and fancies. You can go on and on like that. So, according to Vedic scriptures, they divide the reality into two. One is material, another is spiritual. Whereas science only takes off, only matter exists, nothing else exists. That is why they are going around and around trying to form whims and fancy theories. So, the original cause, where this world has come from, it doesn't stop at the Big Bang. It has to go beyond Big Bang. And that is what explained in Vedanta Sutra. Unless one inquires into the cause which is not material but something spiritual. Atato Brahma Jignasa. Brahma Jignasa. Brahma Jignasa is inquiry into truth. Tattva. So we are talking about 25 tattvas. This is actually matter. Beyond this 25, there is spirit, 26. And beyond the spirit, there is Paramatma. So, if we do not include those and try to understand only this, you will be failure. So in Sankhya philosophy, they study these 25 elements and come to a conclusion that we cannot give a complete explanation for this universe and they go to 26th element. It's science also. How it is science? After studying the Sankhya, one is supposed to do yoga, Hatha yoga. That is actually experiment. So when 25 elements are not giving sufficient explanation about the cause and effect, then one starts meditating. He goes to, you know, Ashtanga yoga process, you know, doing, you know, yama, niyama, asana, pratyahara. All these things when he does, then he gets into samadhi. Trying to find the truth outside, you will not be successful because the truth is not there. Truth is inside. You can't lose your watch in the railway station and try to search it in the temple. Suppose when you are coming in the train, you lost your watch. You realized you lost somewhere else, but when you came to the temple, you are trying to see the watch. Watch is not there. Then you start searching here. Are you lost somewhere else? Where you lost, you should go and you don't know, means that's a different thing, that's fine. But you can't assume here only you lost, you know. You will never find. So 25 elements are there. You try to find out what is the cause of it, you'll never be able to find. Because Krishna has hidden the truth inside you. Spirit soul is inside you, not outside. So by the yoga practice, when one does meditation, he actually experiences his own spiritual nature. It is not theory there. When one actually realizes his own spiritual nature, then he knows the difference between what is matter and what is spirit. Then he knows that, you know, the cause of this world is not this world, but here something connected. And I have not created it. Then he goes further into Paramatma, Bhagavan realization. So it is actually a science. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, Krishna says. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. Vijnanam. Vijnanam means realized knowledge. It is not said Bhagavat Tattva mythology. Bhagavad Tattva is not mythology actually. This is the word terminology given by the British. Because they cannot understand what is Bhagavad Tattva. They think that Tattva means these 24 elements only. So Bhagavan ko to pata nahi sakta hai, so it must be a mythology. Chalo. And masses take the terminology. Yes, yes, the mythology. Ramayana is a mythology, Mahabharata is a mythology. Why don't you do yoga and find out whether it is a science or not? In the West, actually, they have done a lot of research and they found out that yoga is a science. Science means you you are able to do an experiment and try to find out the outcome of the experiment. By doing yoga, you are getting certain things. Oh yeah, this is a science. But how can yoga be science and other part of Veda is mythology? It's not. This is, half chicken philosophy. You accept one part of it, you don't accept another part of it. So in this way, Prabhupada explains, if one actually want to understand the absolute truth, he has to do it scientifically, but not the science as we know of now. Considering matter is the only reality. As long as you have that tendency, matter is the only reality, you will never be able to find God there. Because God is outside. He's not. He is inside the matter also, in every particle, every subatomic particle. Even in the so-called Higgs boson, there is God there. God is there, but not the way they are thinking about it. It's in a different form. So that if they do some mischief, he can come out from that particle and take a Narsingavatara. That's possible for Krishna. So the tattvam, truth, absolute truth, is actually understood away from these 25 elements. Srimad Bhagavatam goes further to state how that tattvam is one. Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmaneti bhagavan iti sabdate. Advayam, advaita, so-called advaitis, they think that they have invented this. No, advaitam, one. That one absolute truth is understood as Brahman, as impersonal, jyoti, in the beginning. When one advances, it depends upon how advanced a person is. If one advances person further, if he is able to meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the form of Paramatma within the heart, then Paramatma, same Paramatma is Brahman also. If one advances further, performs devotional service, then he knows that same absolute truth. Absolute truth is none other than Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Bhagavan. This Bhagavan contains all the characteristics of Paramatma and Brahman also. So it's a question of how deep one wants to go into the spiritual practice. The deeper you go, find more reality. Ocean, surface, there are so many things, but deeper and deeper you go, you find more reality which is not visible from outside. You think that ocean means sometimes the fisherman goes to sea and they catch fishes. This big fish will be, oh, itna bada. Actually, they caught the fishes on the surface. Isn't it? They don't go deep. You go deeper, you find shark, huge, like a submarine. You can't even catch them. It will not be visible outside. You go deep only. So the deeper reality, you have to go deeper. If one goes deeper and deeper into spiritual inquiry, he will find the final word in spirituality is Bhagavan, Krishna. So, Prabhupada explains in the purport, quoting Vishnu Puran, how the Lord, even though he is situated in one place, is extending his control everywhere. Exactly like there is a sun. Sun is far away. But then, the light is reaching here. It is reaching the entire universe, half portion of the universe. It is reaching everywhere. Even though it is situated somewhere, it can have control some other place. The same way, If one tries to find out God in his personal feature, trying to go subatomic particle and deeper and deeper and deeper, you will not find him there. He is sitting in his Vaikuntha, still is controlling everything in the universe, exactly like the fire. The example given is that the fire spreads the illumination for a long distance. The fire can be in one corner. You may not even see the fire. And you may feel the effect of the fire in the form of light and heat. You may not feel. Somewhere in a corner, maybe in a closed room, you keep the fire and slowly you'll find that it is actually extending its energy everywhere. In the same way, even though Krishna in his personal feature is sitting in his Vaikuntha, he actually extends his control over the entire universe exactly like the fire extends its illumination everywhere. Vishnu Purana. The same thing is also discussed in Ishopanishad. How the Lord is inside and is outside. Inside as Paramatma, outside we try to find out, he is as a time factor. And he is very near also, he is far away also. All contradictory things are possible in spiritual. So, Prabhupada writes, the real scientist should do research to find out this supreme cause. The supreme cause, cause of all causes. Karanam, sarva karana karanam. There are so many causes. There is an immediate cause, there is an ultimate cause. The ultimate cause is Krishna. Immediate cause is we. Who is cause of this? You can say watchmaker, you know, some titan company. It's an immediate cause. Who supplied the ingredient for this? That is the supreme cause. Sarva karana karana. Krishna. But scientists have decided not to find that. Whether knowingly or unknowingly. Whether they decided or their predecessors decided, especially the predecessors have decided, they instead of taking a straight road, they took a right turn. Not right turn, it's a left turn actually, wrong turn. They didn't take a right turn. They took a, not actually a right, left turn, they took a U-turn actually. Why it is U-turn? Because there are also scientists. Sankhya Yogi is called a scientist actually, because he is doing laboratory. He doesn't have laboratory, doesn't mean that it has to be a physics, chemistry laboratory. You yourself can make your body as a laboratory and do research. Yoga is a research on yourself. Yoga is a research also. It is research on your own inner research. The science has decided to take a U-turn so that they only want to, you know, beat around the bush and get some research grants so that you can conduct your life happily, so-called, quote-unquote. Prabhupada says, if one does not know this ultimate cause, what is the use of this science and philosophical research? Try to understand. By means of research, you invent something new. You discover something new. Once you invent something new, you get a PhD. Once you got a PhD, you can get a good job, so that you get some money. So then you can do postdoctoral research, and you get more money. Then you do some more and more research, you come up with something very substantial, somebody will give you a Nobel Prize, more money. And you'll be known as a Nobel laureate, and you know, well known scientist, Nobel laureate, you know, etc., etc. What to do with that, all these things? Try to enjoy. Prabhupada writes, people want to enjoy. To be happy is the nature of the soul. But then in the material world, we acquire the material body, we have all got all the objects of senses, we have 25 elements. These 25 elements are, by means of different combination, make different sense object for the enjoyment of the senses. So, the higher intelligence given by Krishna, when it is used, how to enjoy in a very different varieties of way. Enjoyment is there. Even dog is enjoying. You don't find dogs are doing any research how better to enjoy. Jo milta hai, theek hai. You don't find any other species doing some research to find out how to enjoy more. Whatever enjoyment. But human tendency is supposed to, inquisitiveness is supposed to be there. Jignasha. So they are trying to see, this is what I am supposed to, and they are doing a lot of research how to enjoy more. And that different kinds of inquisitiveness, quote unquote, culminated, Prabhupada writes in the purport, culminated in bottomless and topless passion. Advancement of civilization. At least not here so much. You go to the West, there is a topless style. This is a style. Bottomless, topless, without, different varieties. It is going back to animal life. You don't find a dog, anything, you know. They don't wear any cloth, you know. It's okay. So, the advancement of civilization is leading a person towards animalistic way of life. Topless, they feel that what is this, a disturbance wearing, you know, chalo nikal do. Kya hai, bhari padta hai bahut. They remove their cloth and they put cloth for the dog. Thandi lag jata hai na, ye kutta ka bhi pehna deta ek sweater. Woh thandi mein kolo na phir. All the animals, wherever they are created in such a way that they can withstand that whatever environment without any external need. You go to polar, you go to the polar region, Arctic, you will find some polar bears, polar bear. Their bodies, constituted in such a way that they can withstand the cold. If you go there, you'll have to have 2-3 sweaters and so many things and all. Oh, polar bear ko kuch zarurat nahi padta hai. So, God has, Krishna has created all these things, what is necessary. You don't need extra thing. So, human being is supposed to be cultured, wearing cloth. Prabhupada says, we are very advanced, you know, we got a PhD. And then what do? Topless and bottomless. This is the advancement of knowledge? This is the advancement of civilization? This is animal civilization. Dvipada pasu. Two-legged animal. Monkey. Darwin said, from monkey we have come. Prabhupada said, yeah, Darwin has come from monkey, because they are going to monkey also. Not only they have come from monkey, they are going to become monkey. Monkey way of living, topless, bottomless. Monkey doesn't have anything, no? Topless, bottomless, theek hai. So, not only they say that they came from monkey, they act in such a way that they are like monkey only. The real advancement of knowledge, real advancement of scientific, it's not scientific way, this is nonsense actually. Calling so-called science but then acting like animals. The real science, advancement of civilization, means Prabhupada said, trying to understand the original cause of this, which is Krishna. At least hypothetically accept that Krishna is the original cause and do the experiment of chanting Hare Krishna. Actually chanting Hare Krishna means you are doing experiment. Then somebody says that what you guys do, you say that we are doing experiment, we are scientists. What is that you are doing? We are doing experiment so that we can realize God. It's actually scientific. According to science itself, you can do experiment to find out truth. So if you want to find out the truth of Krishna, you can chant Hare Krishna. Because if you have to find out that spiritual absolute truth, it is only by bhakti. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tattvatah, Krishna says. It is only by devotional service you can understand me. So in this way, if one performs devotional service, understanding clearly that this material world made of panchavimsati, 25 elements, but this is the external energy of Krishna. And beyond this external energy, there's an internal energy of Krishna. To realize that internal energy, experience that internal energy, you have to do experiment. Prabhupada very clearly says the science of self-realization. He uses the word science because by performing it, you can actually experience the truth. That is why it is science. It's not simply labeling something as science, something as mythology. Because the so-called materialistic people, they didn't want to do the experiment, they stopped and took a U-turn. So what we can do about it? If you want to find out something, you go straight and then take a U-turn, you will not find it, who can be blamed? Because you took a U-turn, it's your problem. So when one understands that the inner energy, the superior energy, soul, super soul, Bhagavan, and this is superior to the material energy, the 25 elements. And when one pursues the practice for realizing that, he will understand the tattva, absolute truth, Krishna, Bhagavan. That is possible. By doing so, one actually attains spiritual perfection and goes back home, back to Godhead, where everything is permanent, absolute world, absolute truth. Yad gatvana nivartante tad dhamam paramam mama. Prabhupada quotes in the purport. So in this way, when one properly understands the reality of this world made of 25 elements and the reality beyond, one can be very successful. The relevance of this sloka here is, Narada Muni saw that the sons of Daksha, they were so sincere, so nicely engaged in performing austerities, he felt they are very close to becoming liberated. Little bit more if they do it, they can go back to Godhead. Why should they come down? Dharma, artha, kama, moksha, they are almost on the stage of moksha by doing tapasya. So why should they come back to do again dharma, grahastha dharma? Then, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, all these things, why they should do? So he is informing there, try to understand the nature of this material world made of 25 elements and don't have to go and suffer. Narada Muni was very concerned that from moksha stage, let them not come to even dharma stage. So he said them, no, this is waste of time, don't do it. According to the purport here, Prabhupada talks about those who are not only doing dharma, doing adharma. Topless and bottomless civilization, Prabhupada says. Adharma, sinful activities, they will be going where? Here Narada Muni was very concerned to see that, why should they become grahastha and get entangled in the material world? Let them get liberated. And present day, you don't even find such kind of people. You don't even find people who are doing dharma, forget about doing something related to moksha. This is the scenario that Prabhupada has come into being. When Prabhupada went to the West, when Prabhupada is writing in the purport, topless, bottomless, don't think it is theory. I am talking theory. But Prabhupada has practically seen these bottomless, topless people actually. 22nd Avenue, Lower East Side, New York City, famous place in 1965, to be topless and bottomless. So you can see the position of Prabhupada, he is dealing with people who are so degraded, they are not even fit to be actually called a human being. They are dvipada pasu. Try to understand, human being means cultured. Human being means you conduct your life with certain rules and regulations. That is accepted by everybody else in the society. Everybody agrees that we should wear dress. And you don't wear a dress, then you are not fit to be in that society. Right? Even if you go to some deep forest in Africa, those people who are not even cultured, they will be wearing some animal skin or tree bark like that. Just uncultured people. Some deep into African forest, something they wear. And you can imagine the civilization of removing everything, where do they stand actually? They may be removing it in the very famous park in New York City, thinking that, oh, we are in a very, advanced city in the planet. But their condition is worse than somebody who is living in the deep African forest, actually. So Prabhupada, from that situation of people living like animals, by means of Krishna consciousness, he brought them to become devotees who are fit to go back home, back to Godhead. See the task at hand for Prabhupada. So Prabhupada has given us a wonderful gift for which we are not even fit to receive it. Narada Muni gave the gift of Krishna consciousness to the sons of Daksha because they were already very advanced, they are very fit to receive. So Prabhupada has given Krishna consciousness who are unfit to be receiving it, but still in the age of Kali, by performing it, we can actually perfect our life and go back home, back to Godhead. So we should take advantage of this most valuable gift and use it in such a way, by following the footsteps of Prabhupada, rendering devotional service, we can actually achieve the goal that the sons of Daksha achieved by getting it from Narada Muni. I'll stop here. Is there any questions or comments?
Before sense gratification.
Why do you smile while asking question? So,
keep smiling.
Achha, okay.
Four types of sense gratification. Meat eating can be identified with touch, sense of touch. A test. Intoxication, again, sense of taste. And then illicit sex, sense of touch. But gambling, which sense is satisfied?
Each of the things are not connected to one sense or the other. They are not connected. It is in the play of mind. Mind game.
Super sense, mind.
Mind game. Khelna hai. Man mein khelna hai. But they are, each one of them are not connected. As you said, this sense, that sense, four regulative principles are not connected to the sense. For example, intoxication doesn't necessarily to be connected to taste. You can take some drug. There is no taste there. You want to fly high fast, then you take some drugs. There is no taste there. The objective is to fly high faster. So there is no... Some intoxicant can be... All these regulative principles can be connected to various senses also. It's not necessarily. Sometimes illicit sex could be just by seeing things. Somebody who cannot directly do it, he may just see it and be happy also. Kam se kam dekhne ke liye to mila hai. Still, it can be categorized as illicit sex, meaning it doesn't have to be performing the act. It could be just seeing, or it could be just whatever it is. So it's not directly one-to-one connection here.
There is one question written, counting of the chanting of rounds.
Counting of the chanting of rounds.
Can I ask it?
Out of syllabus, still you can go ahead.
Suppose I chanted, the day starts from the sunrise. Right?
You chanted what?
Any day starts from sunrise.
Uh-huh.
And we are supposed to chant 16 rounds daily, per day. So suppose I chanted 16 rounds yesterday after sunrise, so yesterday's my rounds are complete, 16. But I chanted today morning before sunrise, 6 rounds, and after sunrise I will chant 10 rounds. So the day starts from sunrise, so for today's round it will be 10 only, and for yesterday it will be 16 plus 6.
That is why mind game. That is why you are smiling before asking the question only. That means it must be a fun. Sometimes some funny questions come.
This is
making fun.
This is serious, because on Tuesday, suppose I will chant 10 rounds in the morning.
Why you stop at 10? No, you keep continuing. You chant more rounds, you know. Kya karna hai?
That is but daily.
It's nahi sadahari. That is a goal.
Daily 16 minimum quota.
Minimum to bola na. Maximum to koi bola nahi.
After sunrise and before.
Who said after sunrise? Anybody? Did your Guru Maharaj? Anybody said that? Prabhupada said, please chant 16 round after sunrise. Kidhar padha hai aap?
But daily date.
Koi padha hai? After sunrise 16 round karke.
The day starts from sunrise. So daily means
that
after.
That is your calculation. You know actually when the day starts? The day is supposed to start before sunrise. When you, the day starts and Mangalarti starts. Mangalarti means what? We are doing Mangalarti previous day or today? Oh, abhi Mangalarti 4:30 baje hua na? Ye aaj ka Mangalarti ki kal ka Mangalarti hai? Kal ka Mangalarti hai? Let us take a vote. Because it's a voting time, everybody should get ready with the votes. How many of you think today's, the Mangalarti that happened at 4:30 is today's Mangalarti? Vote. We are democratic country. I have won already. You are defeated. You lost your deposit also. How you lost deposit? How many of you think jo 4:30 baje Mangalarti hoga kal ka Mangalarti kitna log sochta hai deposit gaya aapka? Actually when you say talk about day, it is a material way of thinking that when the sun rises, day starts. The real day starts 1.5 hour, 2 hours. Brahma Muhurta karke bolta hai na. The day starts from there. The day starts. So morning when we are doing, today's Mangalarti only we did. You don't make fool of yourself thinking that you have done yesterday's Mangalarti. And today's Mangalarti we will do tomorrow 4:30 AM. How it can be tomorrow 4:30 we will do today's Mangalarti? Iska matlab hai Mangalarti kar hi nahi sakta hai. ये मंगलारती तो गया कल में, आगे वाला मंगलारती गया टुमारो, आज का मंगलारती हो ही नहीं सकता है। ये क्या लॉजिक है? ये लॉजिक नहीं है, इलॉजिकल है। The day actually starts, the day starts from 3:30, 4 o'clock, 1.5 hour, 2 hours before sunrise the day starts. That is why we are getting up. We are preparing for today's Mangalarti. The day for a devotee, forget about devotee, even you go to any holy places, any sadhu living in one place, you will find everybody getting up at 3:30. For a crow, day starts at 4 o'clock. You know that? Crow. Crow is getting up. Crow is doing the roaster. They are all getting up, Biological clock. Day has started. So the day actually starts in Brahma Muhurta time. Once the Brahma Muhurta is there, it is the auspicious time. That is why the spiritual activity starts. That is how we are doing Mangalarati for the Lord. Then we are chanting. So when you are chanting before sunrise, it is today's round only. It is not yesterday's round. Today's round.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Actually you mentioned
where
about...
Where is the mic? Raise your hand. अच्छा कैसा मालूम पड़ेगा आप चुपकी चुपकी पूछेगा तो कैसा कम से कम देखने दो तो कौन है चेहरा किसका है यस
प्रभु जी यू हैड मेंशन अबाउट महाविष्णु एंड प्रधाना कैन यू प्लीज एक्सप्लेन सीक्वेंस ऑफ क्रिएशन स्टार्टिंग फ्रॉम प्रधाना एंड स्पेशली हाउ महाविष्णु एंड प्रधाना सिचुएटेड वेदर दे आर इन द सेम यूनिवर्स और डिफरेंट प्रधाना इज अवे फ्रॉम द because the concept we are unable to understand, when Mahavishnu glances, we think that Pradhana is there and Mahavishnu glances. So I just want a little bit of clarity on that.
Yes, it is there. When Mahavishnu is lying down in the Kaushal ocean, that is called Karana Sagar. It's called Karana Sagar because it's the cause of this universe. He is called Karano Dakasai Vishnu because he is the cause of this universe that we are seeing. So, the Karano Dakasai Vishnu or Mahavishnu, he actually lying down the causal ocean, he is actually breathing. So when he is breathing, from his bodily pores, bubbles are coming. So each bubble is actually potentially going to become a universe. So that each bubble is actually sum total of all the material elements which is in the state of Pradhana at that time. In Pradhana, it is undifferentiated, unmanifested, sum total of all the material elements, 24, don't include 25th. Time ko chod dena. In Sankhya we talk about 24 elements. So these 24 elements together like, you know, Kichdi Jaisaisa. So, this state, undifferentiated, unmanifest state is known as Pradhan. So when Mahavishnu glances at this one bubble, let us say bubble, which is going to become universe later, one bubble, he just glances it. There are two things he does. One thing he does is, this Pradhana doesn't have soul, you see. Life is not their matter. The difference between life and matter is this. The matter cannot produce this world. When Mahavishnu glances at this, by that glance, he injects all the souls into this first. Souls are injected. In addition to injecting the souls, then what he does, he actually disturbs the three modes of nature. Three modes are not part of this 24 elements, the way of things working. When three modes are in equilibrium, there is no action. There is no action. When the Lord glances at this Pradhan, he actually disturbs that equilibrium. He disturbs it. By disturbing the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance, time starts. When it is in equilibrium, time is not there. So the 25th element, he actually is the beginning of action in this universe. So because of the disturbance, Pradhana, when the modes are disturbed, by means of the modes being disturbed, slowly all the 24 elements starts manifesting from the subtlest to gross. Starting from, you know, no false ego, intelligence, mind, all different combinations which is part of Sankhya Yoga. So then when all the 24 elements are manifested, already time started, the time starts with the glance of Mahavishnu. Before that there is no time. Material world. Time in the spiritual world is a different thing. The time of this Kalosmiham, the time starts when Mahavishnu glances at it. So when Mahavishnu glances, the time starts, which becomes 24 plus 1, 25, and all the elements are produced slowly. When all the 24 elements are manifest, then it is known as Prakriti. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarva prakriti. So in this way, so from Mahavishnu's glance, the bubble which came from his own body, so for the bubble also, Vishnu is the cause. For the soul also, Vishnu is the cause. For the time also, Vishnu is the cause. That is why he is the supreme cause. Sarva karana karanam. Understanding that supreme cause is known as Tattva Jignasa. Brahma Jignasa. That is what one is supposed to be doing, Vedic scripture is. Athato Brahma Jignasa. The very first sutra of Vedanta starts with, now let us inquire into Brahman. If a story starts with, now let me do, something must have been done before, you know. By doing every damn thing, anything you may want to do, whether modern science, Sankhya science, or any science, etc., you have to come to the final inquiry at Brahma Jignasa. Wherever you go and beat around bush, U-turn, left hand, right hand, any turn you take, final destination is Brahma Jignasa. When one comes to that, he is very advanced. Even in spiritual pursuit. So in that way, so from Mahavishnu everything is coming, that is why he is called Karano Dakasai Vishnu. So that is the sequence. Once the universe is manifest, 24 elements are manifest, same Karano Dakasai Vishnu expands as Garbho Dakasai Vishnu and lies down in the within one universe, and from his body the water comes and it becomes like Garbho Sagar. So from his navel then lotus comes, and from the lotus Brahma is born. Still there is no planets or anything like that. Then Brahma is trying to find out, what am I doing here? He is not able to find. The Lord says, do tapasya. Tapa, tapa, tapa. Then when he does tapasya, within his heart, Lord Krishna manifests all the knowledge requires to create this. Then Lord Brahma creates all this planetary system. And then four Kumaras come, and they don't want to do it. Then Shiva is born, and he was trying to do it. Then he said, no, your progeny is not good enough now. Tapa karo, tum bhi jao, tapasya karo. Then Prajapatis come. Then Daksha creates progeny, and Daksha has begot 10,000 children, and those 10,000 children are hearing from Narada Muni. That is where you are here.
Where comes Mahatattva?
Mahatattva and Pradhana is more or less same. Great Tattva. So in the sequence, you can't fit it there. It's as good as, it's sometimes can be referred as Prakriti, sometimes can be referred as Pradhana also. It is some total of Mahatattva also. Mahat, the great. The great. Mahatattva, in the sequence of event, you can't fit in. It can be, it's like a, you can call it sometime this, sometime that, of that sort. Nimai Nitai Prabhu. Pass the mic, pass it.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Raji, you mentioned couple of questions actually. First is, you mentioned the 24th element is contaminated consciousness. And we also hear that consciousness is a symptom of soul. But in the Pradhana there is no soul. So how it remains there?
Very intelligent question. What is this consciousness is supposed to be symptom of the soul? And what is this contamination, how it came about? So, the consciousness, Sat, Chit, Ananda, Chit. Chit is the, you know, characteristic of soul. Sat, Chit, Ananda. So that, when in the material world, it gets reflected. That experience of that reflected chit is known as consciousness. What we know of consciousness is not actually the consciousness or the characteristic of soul. It is actually the reflected nature of that consciousness on this body. Suppose you touch somebody, is the consciousness hai ki nahi? Is conscious or not? Is actually the material component of the original conscious thing, pure consciousness. The material component. So what we experience as consciousness, it is not the original consciousness that we are talking about as chit. That is why Prabhupada translates it, this 24 element, which is called in Sanskrit as chitta. Chitta. As contaminated consciousness, to distinguish it from the actual consciousness of the soul. So this contamination is what we are supposed to be purifying. Cheto darpana marjanam. Oh, chetana ek already pure hoga to kya purify karne ka usko? Cheto darpana marjanam, you know. Our process starts with cheto darpana marjanam. So this contaminated consciousness or chitta, it is contaminated because it is more on the side of the body than on the soul. So isko kabhi hum purify karte 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 jayega, the same thing can be moved from body level to the spiritual level. There has to be something in between, you know. In this process, see, you are using the material body to purify your consciousness and become spiritually situated. These are two different domains, you know. There has to be something interface. So this is like an in-between, which can act in this level also and that level also. Samjana? You are spirit. And you are using the body to become more and more spiritual. So there has to be some interface, you know. That is why the subtle body is there with the mind, intelligence, false ego, unconsciousness. So the consciousness, as long as you identify with the body, it is called material consciousness. That is contaminated consciousness. Once you keep on purifying it, when you become pure, then it will be more identifying with the soul than with the body. That is Jivan Mukta, liberated stage. The Jivan Mukta is already liberated but still is living in the body. Prabhupada. He was in his own spiritual thing, but still he is still dealing with the body. So in that level of after purifying the consciousness when you are acting, you will be acting always Krishna conscious. So our aim is to purify our consciousness so that we can be Krishna conscious. International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We have to be supposed to be always situated in Krishna consciousness, you know. So when you are fully purified, you will be always thinking about how to serve Krishna only. That is what we are trying to achieve. By sincerely and seriously trying, by the mercy of Prabhupada, by the mercy of Radharas Bihari, we can be successful also. It's possible. It's not something impossible. But we have to sincerely and seriously try. Keep trying.
So, Guruji, this contaminated consciousness is there in the Pradhana. But the soul's original pure consciousness is when the soul will come, so that is there with the soul. So this is
it becomes active.
Okay.
It's like something may be there, you have to activate it, no? So something has to match, frequency matching between this and that is the element. Just, otherwise, it is like soul is one category and body is another category. Good, good, good. If you shake your body, there should be shaking, you know? There has to be some continuity, you know? Suppose coconut. When coconut is fresh, you shake it, only water sound will come. The coconut dry ho jata hai. Coconut ekdam dry ho jata hai. Then that pulp, you know, coconut, it becomes so dry that it comes out of the shell. Then you shake it, the coconut is different than the shell. Good, 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 awaaz aayega. But now body is not like that. There has to be continuity from soul to body, you know. So there has to be continuity. That continuity is made possible because of the subtle element. Out of the subtle element, consciousness is the closest thing to the soul. That is how it is, continuity. It's actually, if one studies Sankhya and tries to understand how yoga is practiced, you will say that this is actually real science. That is why Prabhupada always says this science is, you know, not science, cheating. Because they do some small thing and say that this is the only way to understand scientific. That's what Prabhupada repeatedly says. Krishna says actually, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. Vijnanam means what? Science, in Sanskrit is called Vijnanam. Jnana Vijnana Sakitam. Jnana is knowledge, theoretical knowledge. Vijnanam is realized knowledge. Experimented knowledge. Krishna is telling Vijnanam, Savijnanam. So, that is actually real science. Whereas, only dealing with matter and thinking that we are real scientists, then you are cheating yourself, living in a fool's paradise. You fool yourself, what we can do about it? If you are fortunate enough, you may come in touch with one book of Prabhupada and that can change the life. That's possible. Only by the mercy of devotees, one can come. Like here, Narada Muni's mercy, all the sons of Daksha, they were fortunate enough to receive. In the same way, only by the mercy of devotee, pure devotee like Prabhupada, simply getting one book, a person can change, taking a U-turn, again he will take a U-turn. Double U-turn is good. He will be on the straight line. Okay, somebody else? Yes, quick.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji, you said Lord glances over the Pradhan and he impregnates. He does two acts. So one is sending souls. So he sends all the souls to the Pradhan. And also does the other act. So while he is sending souls, so all these souls, where do they go? I mean, Daksha is now doing the, sending his 10,000 sons to do the reproduction further. So where are all these souls? Are they in the form of some living entity or are they just...
Oh, you mean at that time?
Yeah, at that time.
At that time they have not acquired the body. They are waiting for particular sin should be created depending upon their previous karma. Where they left. The body, see... Karmana Daiva Netrena Jantur Dehopapate. By means of karma and Daiva Netra, you get a body. Suppose in the previous creation, at the time, if suppose somebody was a dog, he is injected, that soul is injected in this universe, where the dog's body is yet to be created, he has to wait. You are in queue. So you are in queue eternally actually. Don't think you are in queue only, you know, when you make some telephone calls or you have to be in queue. So unless your dog body situation created, you won't get it. Until then you are on hold. Wait. Either you have to wait, there is no other option for you. In between you can't do something. So depending upon the karma that we are carrying forward from our previous, similar thing you have to start here. So until that particular body out of 84 lakh species is made, you have to wait. That's all. Mike.
Hare Krishna. As you said, time is different in spiritual world. So can you explain about it? as we heard before that in spiritual world there is no time. So
spiritual world there is no time. Krishna doesn't have any time to do anything with the time.
So what is the difference between material time and spiritual time?
The material time is energy of Krishna which makes activities, which makes possible activities. By doing the activity, you grow older. The characteristic of time in the material world is that the time makes everyone to grow older. Sun is rising and setting, and by means of that one day is gone. He is stealing away one day. Sun is rising, no movement of sun, movement of time. Right? So somebody who thinks that the day starts after sunrise, he gets up at 10 o'clock in the morning to take bed coffee. For him the days are stolen faster because he has not even seen what happens before sunrise, you know. So in this way, everything, because the material world is created in such a way that you come into being, you exist for some time, you get out. Right? So people keep growing older and older. Grey hairs start coming. You see one day, hey, already a grey hair is coming. Yes, you are becoming. You have to, at least, it is telling that it is time to get some wisdom. Whether wisdom tooth came or not, whether you will get wisdom, we don't know. But at least when you see the grey hair, okay, wisdom. You still on the U-turn course. Then Krishna says, Sarva haras chaham. So, Krishna made the thing in such a way that those who came into being, they'll get out of that also. You have to do something. So it makes possible life, janma, mrittu, jara, vyadi, chakkar, possible, ho sakta hai. Whereas in the spiritual world also there is time. But that time doesn't steal away your lifespan because there everybody is living eternally. Nobody grows old. There you will not go and find somebody with a grey hair there. It's characteristic of here. Even the oldest man will have the very curly black hair. You know who is the oldest man there?
Krishna.
Kon? Thoda zor se bolo.
Krishna.
Unka grey hair dekha kabhi? Krishna is the oldest person in the spiritual world. Still he will be having the curly, not only curly hair, he will look also Navayavanam. Oldest man. So, the time factor makes possible grow old, get disease and die. Birth, old age, disease, death. These are all possible because time is pushing without our knowledge. There, no. So that is spiritual. Even though days have passed, even though they are playing every day, they don't say that we have become old, we cannot play now. Abhi bachcha log hai, they play football, right? Then you become 50 years old. You think that 50 years old man will play football? Sabko retirement hota hai. God of cricket ko bhi retirement hona mangta hai. Wo God aake cricket playega, kabhi retirement nahi hoga. Unka record kon tod sakta hai? So, in the spiritual world, the characteristic of birth, old age, disease, death is not there. So eternally they play. Eternal. There is no limit for that. That is spiritual time. There is also sunshine. Not because of a sun, it is because of Krishna. There is also night. There is also doing so many things, everything they do, but they are not affected by the characteristic of the material birth, old age, disease and death. They don't suffer. All this suffering, kleshas, they are not there like that. Self-satisfied. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande.